Body.
I'll read it and give it back to you then, okay?
That's okay, yes.
I don't get his stuff anymore. I quit getting it years ago. It wasn't because there was anything wrong with it. I just felt like I was supposed to stop.
I've been getting it all the time.
Yeah, Evie's very good. He's very good. Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sunday Morning Adult Discussion Group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. I don't know. Brenda, what is it that we like to do here? What is it that we like to do here?
We like to share the Christ.
We like to talk about our Lord.
Yes.
This morning we are still in Matthew chapter 14. And we'll get started on that as soon as Oscar leads us in a word of anointed prayer.
Lord, we come into your presence right now, Father. We just ask you to have your way in this class here today. We've come to just talk about the beauties of you and your word. We ask you that your Holy Spirit, we know it's the teacher, we ask you that you just flow through your body today and let us, or out of your body today, and let us all, give us all ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us today. We'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Before we get started, I just want to say, there is no teacher in here except the Lord. We just all sit and chat, and somehow he manifests himself.
Kathy usually leads the class, you know.
I call myself the facilitator.
Yeah, I call her the teacher, but she don't.
And I call him the preacher.
I've listened before.
Yeah.
So Bob, feel free just to join the conversation, because that's all it is. It has worked for us so well.
Okay.
To just have a conversation and show the Lord presenting himself. I think we went all the way through.
I thought we was ready to begin on chapter 15.
We were ready to start chapter 15?
Yeah, because I finished.
I have a couple of things from the tail end of 14.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead and bring them out.
All right, let me where you started on 14, you want to share.
I'm going to start in verse 32.
All right.
Who's reading today? Buddy or Brenda?
They usually read it out of the Amplified Bible first, you know.
Who's reading?
Start
at 32 40. And go to the end.
All right.
This won't take long.
And when I'm reading from Matthew chapter 14, here finishing up, starting at verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat knelt and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over to the other side, they went ashore at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. And as many touched it, were perfectly restored.
Okay. I think there's an awful lot of wonderful stuff in there. And in verse 32, that's one of those verses that I've read 1,000 times. And just this morning, actually it was last night, it really hit me. When they came back into the ship, the wind ceased immediately. Mm-hmm. Then, this is 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus. Mm-hmm. As far as to my knowledge, I think that's the first time they ever worshiped Jesus, mm-hmm. as saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I believe that was a turning point for the apostles. And I also believe that I looked kind of through Matthew and Mark, and right around that same time is when Jesus anointed them to go out two by two and anointed them to heal. Because they had finally acknowledged in their heart, down deep to their innermost being, that it finally became real to them that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay, so in the Passion, here's what it says in verse 33. Okay, I'll start at 32 there too. And the very moment they both stepped back into the boat, the raging wind ceased. And there's some talk in there about the meaning of the word for the winds that are in this story. They were raging winds. They would knock you over. Anyway, then at 33 it says, then all of the disciples crouched down before him and worshiped Jesus. Wow. I mean, that's quite a sight.
Can you imagine that when he stepped into the boat, he had control over everything.
Yes.
He had control over. So a raging storm obeyed what he did.
Wow, immediately.
Yep.
Immediately, yep. Wow.
So if you were in a boat and it was like storming and raging and wind and all that, and Jesus stepped into your boat, everything calmed down. Yeah, I'd praise him too.
Oh,
yeah. I would know who he is then.
Well, you have to realize too, he had just walked on the water.
Yeah, the water.
They'd never seen anybody do that before, you know.
And just imagine that raging water. He didn't silence the wind until he got in the boat.
Right.
He was in raging water.
In the raging water he was.
Yeah, they were. Right. They were telling.
The water had to be calm where he was stepping.
Yeah.
It could have been no waves or anything.
Anybody else got anything about that? I can only imagine.
I will like to say this, and I'll say this about them worshiping him. You know, and I'll take me just a few minutes to explain this. Years ago, I had never really studied into the word worship, what it actually meant. And, you know, I was asked to speak, and I'd never had a dog when I was little, you know. I had one dog, and I had it for about 2 weeks, and my brother took it out and lost it because it barked at night when we were trying to sleep. Anyway. So I'm really not much about dogs, you know. Margaret came from a dog family. Her mom used to raise dogs and sell them and all that kind of stuff. You know, like dogs with papers and stuff. So anyway, when I felt like that, I was asked to speak, and the Lord started dealing with me about worship. He seeks us to worship Him in spirit and truth, you know. And so I looked up the word worship, what it actually meant. And I'm going to tell you the definition of what it actually means in Strong's. Okay, it means this. It means to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand, to fawn, to crouch, figuratively to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence, to adore, and to worship. It's pretty strong, you know. And you know, when the Lord was dealing with me about this, we'd got that dog, and that was Margaret's dog. And when I come in the house, it acknowledged me. But that dog knew Margaret was its master. And when she came in the house, that dog would jump up and push on the back of her leg and run around her and do all this stuff, and kept doing that until she acknowledged that dog. Until she'd reach down and pet the dog and stuff. And if I came in without her, instead of the dog greeting me, it would start running around looking for her, see? And it would run up the stairs sometimes, and our beds were pretty high, and you can't see, if you're something small, she uses a step stool to get, like one step to get up in our bed, because it's high off the ground. Anyway, so the dog would jump to the side of the bed. It was a little bitty white dog, it was real small. and it would jump on the side of the bed, trying to see if she might be laying on the bed looking for her, you know. And I mean, it wasn't satisfied until she came home, you know. And if I petted it or something, it would lay and lay down and prostrate and turn its head to the side and just lay real still and not move, you know. And when I read this definition, when the Lord was dealing with me about this, like a dog licking its master's hand, you know, to fawn, to prostrate, that the dog does all that, you know, if you have a dog, you know, it'll do all that. And then the question began to be, when we seek after him, do we do that? Do we kiss him, so to speak, or lick, you know, like the dog licking a master's hand? Do we find, do we prostrate, do we acknowledge him? That's what they were doing right here, because they realized who he was, you know. They were what this was said, they knelt down at his feet and everything, so they actually were worshiping him, see. So a lot of times we don't realize, we fall short a lot of times in our worship, what we call worship, you know. There's a difference between just praising the Lord and really worshiping him, you know. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring that out.
In the footnotes here in the Passion says, the Greek word used for worship, proskuneo, includes three concepts: to bow, to kiss, and to pay homage to. All three are included here. And then the next in the Passion, it says, they said in adoration, you are truly the Son of God. How many times I've read that, and they worshiped him, and you just kind of go on. It grabbed my heart, and I thought, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Would we do that? And you know, how wonderful to be a part of that. And yet, only, I'd say, 8 hours earlier, they had seen and had taken part in and had a big part. Jesus blessed it and handed the bread and the fish to the disciples, and they distributed it. They broke it up and handed it out. They were a part of something so great, and yet 6 hours later, there they were on the boat, trembling and crying and carrying on, that we're going to die, you know. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. They say, oh, it's a ghost. It's a beautiful part of the Bible, it really is. And then I think that the next part is just as beautiful. And then we'll hop into chapter 15.
Does anybody else have anything they want to say about any of that before those last couple verses?
Anybody got anything about this?
Feel free to speak.
When they, and then it said, and where was I? What was I doing over here? And after they crossed over, you know, immediately they got in and the wind subsided. They worshiped the Lord and said, after they crossed over and landed at Gennesaret, the people living there quickly recognized who he was. Let's see what it says about Gennesaret, or Gennesaret. I don't know how exactly you say it. It means harp. And I think that it was probably in the Appalachian part of Palestine, because I took that back to its, in the Strong's Concordance, back to its first meaning, and that harp actually meant to twang on something. So I decided they must all be Southerners. They're in Gennesaret. Harp was known as a lovely and fertile plain south of Capernaum. Lake Galilee was also called the Lake of Gennesaret. Oh, nice. It says the people living there. Oh, did you read that part? Yeah, you read it, didn't you?
Yeah, were
okay.
The
people living there quickly recognized who he was. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that means. Did they recognize that he was who he was because of his fame, but they weren't quite sure he was, you know, did they really know who he was?
They were quick. For everybody out there, they set for everyone
Yes, it says they were quick to spread the news throughout the surrounding region that Jesus had come to them. Like they were in awe of the fact he even came to us. Wow, he crossed over the river, the containment, you know. If he was just to the Jews, I don't know. But they were so surprised that Jesus had come to them now. So they brought him all their sick, begging him to let them just touch the fringe of his robe. And everyone who touched it was instantly healed. Everyone.
And that was great faith there.
Yes. Now, this one says everyone who touched it, but I think that the King James says he healed all that were sick. Because I remember hearing the word all. Let me see if I can find it.
You know, the King James pretty much says the same thing. Touched the hem of his garment, yeah.
He said they brought all that were diseased.
What I don't understand is the men of what did you say that place was?
Gennesaret?
Yeah.
When they saw him, when they recognized him, they sent all around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick. But the disciples actually didn't know who he was on the hillside when he was, you know.
Feeding the 5,000.
Yeah, feeding the 5,000. But the men of this country knew who he was, recognized him.
Well, this is the apostles telling you the story.
Okay.
They're telling you what happened. And you know, Jesus had been healing people all along,
yeah.
You know, apparently by this point. Mm-hmm. And yet, you got to realize that, you know, they knew that he was the healer, and some of them might have known that, might have thought that he was the Messiah, and some of them probably didn't. Some of them just probably thought he was a prophet or whatever. But, they knew that he had the ability to heal people.
Yeah.
So they started sending the word out, hey, anybody sick, come here, you know.
Well, I wonder if any of those people were in the crowd of 5,000.
Well, they probably were, yeah, yeah.
Or
well, they were country people from all over different countries and different areas of that old place, I'm sure, you know, in that crowd.
Do you remember back in the days? It doesn't happen so much anymore, but remember that Cathedral of Compassion, was that what it was called?
Yeah.
And there was that one big guy, and whenever he came, boy, people would come from miles around.
Yeah.
I forget what, Branham?
Yeah.
William Branham?
No, it wasn't William Branham.
After him.
I know it was. It was his dad was in the Voice of Healing years ago. They used to have a thing called the Voice of Healing, and it was all these ministries that had healing ministries, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know his name and I can't think of it. But anyway, it was his son, and he did come around here for quite a while. He used to come to, they had a church in St. Bernard.
Yeah.
And they went to St. Bernard. Mm-hmm. And,
Yeah, I went there once or twice.
I never did go, but I seen him one time, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You know, that's, we're just like, it's all a process, isn't it?
Yeah.
For so long, we ran after Christ outside of ourselves.
Right.
Different than ourselves.
Right.
Oh, this preacher's coming. Oh, this preacher's coming. Oh, this preacher's coming. We had to get something that we didn't have from someone we thought had it. Whether they had it or not, we don't know, actually. But isn't it so much more peaceful and so much more serene to look for Jesus within ourselves? Right there, go in our closet, turn off all the noise, and just let him minister to us. He's always with us. If the Spirit of God, which is the only Spirit that's in us, is that right? I want to be sure that's it. There is one Spirit, one.
Yeah.
And he's in us. If he weren't in us, we'd drop over on that ground and not take a breath.
But God has sent, like the ones we went here and there to hear. It's like when Jesus sent out the disciples to go out. But you look at those that God has called that has went different places that are ministering.
Yes.
What God has given to them.
That's right.
And then for we partake day. Of and are enlightened of another portion, another way of seeing God, another way of knowing Him. And
well,
they're speaking life and bringing forth life, because I went many places, you know.
What you have to remember is that Scripture says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Mm-hmm. And you have to realize you don't know people. You're not supposed to know people by their gifts. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to know them basically by their love and, you know, that kind of thing. And by their fruit, really, as the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love. It's the beginning one there. But you're supposed to know people by that. And there's people who have flowed and moved in the gifts that God has given them without repentance, on, you know. And sometimes they can be gifted, but they're not always showing the fruit or the love of God. And you know, that's what really gives the gifts, when people move into gifts, a bad name sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about money, you know, and that kind of thing. But, you know, you have to realize that people have a tendency that they'll flock to a ministry where people are getting healed, or where this is happening or that's happening. And that happens because of the faith. You know, I don't know if any of y'all ever went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting or not. Did you?
I don't think I did.
I went. I went to a couple of them. I took my mom to a couple of them. And Catherine Kuhlman would tell you that she didn't heal anybody. And she did almost nothing. She'd stand up there and she'd say, "I feel like the Holy Spirit's moving over here, you know, over in this section over here. There's somebody over here that's got this or got that." Well, sure enough, there would be somebody over there and they would get healed and that kind of thing. It wasn't like, but she'd tell you, she'd say, I don't heal anybody. I can't heal anybody, you know, and you can't. And even if God uses you in that vein, it's just, that's a gift that He's given to edify or build up the body of Christ. But you don't know people by their gifts, and people have a tendency that they judge people by their gifts, and they think because they're gifted in an area, you know, like they're prophetic, they give you a prophetic word, or they can give you a word of knowledge, or some of these other, you know, some of the other gifts, you know, and that all of a sudden they're somebody super special. Well, they're not no more special than anybody else. They're just gifted. And if they aren't functioning in the love of God, you know, then it's just a gift, you know. And, you know, you have to kind of not put people on a pedestal because they have a gift, you know.
That's why it's important. I was saying how your mother told you.
Yeah.
To knowing.
Know God for yourself.
For yourself.
Yeah.
And in knowing Him.
Yeah.
He's faithful in those that you hear,
uh-huh.
knowing if it's true,
right.
if it's life,
right.
if it's, you know.
Right. And you know, I've went to a couple of meetings where it was just all ministers, you know, a couple of times. I went to a couple like that, and the Lord has used me prophetically in some of those ministries, you know, where I give people where word of prophecy. And a couple of these guys were prophets, you know, they had the prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it's just a gift, and a lot of times they want a word from somebody else, you know what I mean? And, you know, the Lord gave me a word for this one brother one time, and I felt like the Lord was saying that He was going to send him, you know, back to Israel and minister to people in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I've been wondering about that." He said, "I've been feeling that for a while,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't know, you know."
Yeah,
I mean, you think, like, you have a tendency that you think those guys know everything. They don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even when God gives you a word for somebody, I don't try to interpret the word. And if God does give me a word for somebody, because, you know, you're liable to send them off on some wild goose chase unless God gives you the interpretation to give to them, you know. And you know, you got to realize that even if God gives you a prophetic word or something for somebody, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Mm-hmm. If God hasn't dealt with you on that level, you know, in other ways, or doesn't deal with you in that, about that same thing in other ways, you need to just leave it alone. Just, if it's what God wants to happen, it'll happen, you know. But people have a tendency that they elevate people onto these pedestals, and then a lot of times those ministries like that end up falling because they get so much adulation from people and everything that they start believing that they're really more than what they are, you know what I mean? And you know, you're nothing special if God's using you. I mean, you know, you're no more special than any other brother or sister. You know, it's all Him, that's right. And if you aren't giving Him the glory, then you're gonna end up falling way, way short in this thing.
Well, like here, yeah. It took the glory. The one that came out there in this attire that he had on.
Yeah.
And the sun and all shone so, and it was so bright and airy.
Right.
And the people worshiped it, and and he took it unto himself. And what happened to him? He was eaten with worms right there.
I love this story that I heard of this minister saying. This guy was pretty big, you know, had pretty big ministry. And he said that, you know, he was praying for people. And he said, this brother came up and he said, you know, I went to pray for him. And he said, and I went to pray for him. And he said, well, I was praying for him. He said, the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, did you see his suit? And this guy was probably wearing $1,000 suits, you know, because he had a real big ministry and all this kind of stuff. And he said, yes, Lord. You know, he's having this conversation with God.
With God, as
he's ministering to this guy. Mm-hmm. He said, you see his suit? You see how wrinkled it was, how worn it was? He said, yes, Lord. You see his pants, how shiny they were, you know, from wear? Mm-hmm. He said, yes, Lord. You see his shoes, how scuffed and dirty they were? He said, yes. He said, he loves me more than you. Mm-hmm. He said, I went home and I cried and cried and cried. Because I realized, you know, that I had lost my first love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't about what you have, how big a ministry you have, or anything like that. It's how much you love God.
Yes.
And wherever He's got you, that's where you need to be. And you know, He's... But I really ministered to me, because I thought, what a tremendous word. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it broke him down, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need to be broken down.
Yeah.
You start thinking that you're some big high muckety muck in something in the Lord, and He'll humble you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He resists the proud, and what's He do? He humbles
yes.
Him, you know. But anyway, I would like to say something about verse 36, if it's all right.
That's great.
You know, in verse 36, it says, they besought Him that they might touch the hem of His garment. Mm-hmm. As many as touched were perfectly whole. Now, I know that traditional teaching on that on hem of His garment is that they wore a shawl which had knots tied in it, you know, around the hem. And the Jews to this day wear a prayer shawl like that a lot of times. Lord dealt with me entirely different concerning that. He gave me a poem about the hem of His garment one time. And He also began to tell me Jesus was a high priest after the order or rank of Melchizedek. And then He had me go and study into the high priest in the Old Testament. And the high priest in the Old Testament, around the hem of His garment, was a pomegranate and a golden bell. And a pomegranate and a golden bell, all the way around the hem of His garment. And what the Lord began to show me, they were red, blue, and purple. Red is a type of the blood, you know. Blue is a type of the vastness of God, the sky. The sky's vast, you know. And purple is a royal color. And gold is gold. It was a golden bell. And what the Lord began to deal with me about is that when you touch the hem of His garment, you're touching... Pomegranate has abundant amounts of seed. You're touching abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
And the bell is, the word for bell is a word, it's called, it's paramount or something like that. And it also means a hundredfold. So when you touch the hem of his garment, you're touching the hundredfold realm. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that in that particular story where that woman had had the, she had, this was another part of the, one of the other gospels, but the woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And the issue of blood, she, the woman being the soul, a type of the soul, had an issue of blood. And your blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that meant for 12 years, she was pouring out her life. And she said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Mm-hmm. And basically what the Lord was dealing with me about, 12 is the number for governmental perfection. Mm-hmm. And he basically was saying in that scripture, if you have eyes to see it and can really hear what it's saying, that governmental perfection comes when you quit pouring out your life and you start touching the hem of his garment. You start touching his life, the hundredfold realm. You start touching the hundredfold realm, then you're made completely whole, you know. And, you know, remember how the crowd was pressing in on the lady and, you know, she was being pressed from all sides and pressing in on Jesus, you know. And what did he say? Who touched me? Who touched me? And it was the woman. But the woman was a type of the soul, was a type of the church, it was a type of the flesh, has to reach out and begin to touch the spiritual realm of God. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you see a lot of ministries, and you know, I put myself in the same situation, a lot of ministries pour out their life. They keep pouring out their life, their life, their mm-hmm. life, and it'll kill you. It'll wear you down to nothing, you know, when you do that. Mm-hmm. But you got to realize that you have to touch his life. You know,
yes.
It's not about you. It's not about your life. It's about touching his life. And, you know, I don't know that I can remember the whole poem that he gave me, but and it goes like this. In the hem of his garment, there's abundant life. There's freedom from struggle and freedom from strife. The refreshing of his spirit, the fruit of his love. Mm-hmm. When you touch his garment, you'll rise above, you know, and sit with him in a heavenly place or something like that, but I can't remember the whole thing. But he gave me a poem concerning that whole thing at the same time, and he gave me that teaching many years ago. But you know, and I know a lot of ministers teach about they touching that the knots because it was a prayer garment. Mm-hmm. But I believe spiritually speaking, they were touching a higher realm than even that, you know.
Yes.
And but you know, that's just what the Lord showed me about that.
You talked to me before about the hem of his garment stuff. I just looked up the word touch, and it says to attach oneself to.
Yeah.
And you know, something else grabs me about that. That where it could be on the prayer shawl and not be, but most likely we see around the bottom. Yeah. That's the way our mind sees it. That's where that realm of heaven touches the earth. And that's if you touch the realm of heaven right there, that's where he comes to save us. Right there where we live, right there in the dirt.
Well, and look at the feet. What would she have had to have done to touch the hem of his garment, that woman? She would have had to humble herself.
Oh, yeah.
Very, you know, and go to his feet.
Yes.
And what happened, what did Jesus say about Mary who sat and wept and washed his feet with hairs on her head and stuff, mm-hmm. and Martha was up running around. Boy, she was busy doing the Lord's work, feeding everybody and cleaning the house and doing everything else. And then she said to the Lord, she said, don't you care that she's not up helping me, doing the work and all this stuff? And what did he say? He said, she's chose the better part, mm-hmm. sitting at his feet, you know. And That's the humbling place. That's where you humble yourself, at the feet of Jesus. That's where you should be learning, at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. You know, I've often thought, if people ask me, if they was to say, well, Lord, brother, where did you go to Bible college? I'd have to tell them I went to Holy Spirit at the feet of Jesus. It's a Holy Spirit University. That's the only one I ever went to. You know, I didn't go to Bible college. I think a lot of the Bible college people need to go sit at the feet of Jesus some, you know, because that's who will teach you the real truths, you know. But I don't know. But anyway, I still have that written down, that whole article that I wrote about that, and the poem. If anybody'd like to have one sometime, I'll give you one if you want it.
That's beautiful, though. To cling to adhere to, and to fasten yourself to Him. It puts in my mind, you know, Jesus trying to walk down the street. He's dragging this woman along with him. But I'm sure that's not exactly what they meant, but that is truly what we have to do. We have to get our life from Him. I know that. What did you say about the blood is the life of the flesh?
The life of the flesh. Scripture says that the life of the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Yeah, flesh is not really what we're actively looking for, though. I just want to get rid of mine.
Well, let me put it to you like this. If you want to understand that a little bit deeper, what did Jesus pour out on Calvary?
His blood.
What are we covered with?
His blood.
Why? Because His blood, and I'm going to tell you this, and you might not agree with this, but I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Almost all diseases, and Bob was a paramedic, so he could probably tell you this, almost all diseases, where do they travel through your body at?
The blood.
The blood. Man's blood is polluted. Mm-hmm. It's polluted. Jesus' blood, you got to realize, Jesus, he was born of Mary, but he was not born of Adam, of man. Mm-hmm. The Father was not man. The Father was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. Mm-hmm. Now, recently, I've even heard them say covering of Terran, a shroud of Terran. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while they go back and try to as technology gets greater, they try to go back and retest that thing. And they went back a while back, according, if this is true, and I can't tell you for sure that it's true, mm-hmm. but they said that they went back and they got DNA off of it.
Yeah.
And they said it wasn't like anybody else's DNA. Mm-hmm. Like nothing that's in the world, because they've got that stuff, they know pretty much all around the world, they know what, you know, where you could came from and all this and that. They said the DNA off of that wasn't like human DNA in that sense.
No, because it was God.
It was God, sure it was. That's why when he poured out his, yeah, he was man, but he was a new creation man.
Hallelujah, yeah.
His blood was not like your blood, his blood was not like my blood, because it was not polluted. You know, and think about it. All of the people that Jesus prayed for, did you ever read in there where he was sick?
No.
Did you ever read in there where he had any diseases?
No.
No, but it says he took all of our diseases upon himself. You know, by his stripes we were healed. So what does that tell you? That tells you there was a miraculous thing happening with him. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was man. And he had to come in the form of a new creation man. He was the fulfillment of what was said in Genesis. Mm-hmm. When he said, I'm going to tell you, he is being part of Elohim. When he said, let us make man in our own image and our own dominion, in our own likeness, and let him have dominion. And they did. But when man... Here's what I said. I know some people don't preach this and don't teach this, but I'm going to tell you what I said. You can receive it or let it go. It doesn't make no difference. But anyway, when Adam was first created, Adam was perfect in the day that he was created. I read that to you out of Ezekiel last week when I told you that was really talking about Adam. In the day that you were created, he was perfect. until iniquity was found in him. But I'm going to tell you what, in Genesis, man, if God took a chamber out of man, it wasn't a rib, it was a chamber, if you go back and look at it, it wasn't a bone. He took a chamber out of man. Up until then, man was perfect because he was in perfect innocence. But the soulish nature that rose up out of that chamber was taken out of there, caused man to sin.
To fall.
Man entered into the realm of what? What did he say? In the day that you eat thereof, you shall what?
Surely die.
Into the realm of death. Okay. When he entered into the realm of death, then he had to be what? What happens to you when you get saved? What's the first thing everybody asks you? Have you been what?
Born again.
Born again what? Of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, so there, you know, there it is, you know. And like I told you, and I'll hit on this a little bit from my sermon last week, but it talked about a lot of people want to say that's talking about the devil, but I don't believe it's talking about the devil. It's talking about man, because it uses the word man, and the word for man there is the word Adam. As in Adam, all do what?
Die.
So in Christ shall what?
Live.
All be made alive. Each man after his own order. Okay? So the circle has come back around. But the difference is between man back there and man today is he was in innocence. Mm-hmm. He knew no sin. There was no sin. You know, we have been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We're being changed from glory to glory.
Yes.
You know, we're looking in the perfect law of liberty into the glass darkly, you know, which is what? If you ever walk by a store or something and it's totally dark in there and there's glass, what do? Who do you see in the glass? You see yourself.
Yeah.
Every time I go into McDonald's in the morning, because I walk across the parking lot, because I've just always tried to keep my hair combed, when my hair blows all around, and I walk across the parking lot before I go in the door. When I'm in the hallway, I look into the glass, and guess what I do? I comb my hair, because I don't like my hair to be real disheveled. My one grandson, Jennifer, asked Josh one time, says, Josh says, if something happens to Grandpa, is there anything in his you want? He said, yeah, I want his comb. Margaret gets, she says, you was the original Fonzie. I said, yeah. I always like my hair to be, you know, be in place, you know. And it is, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but I still comb it a lot. I ain't got a whole lot left, you know. But you know, a lot of this stuff is so simple. It's so simple that people just miss it totally. Because they try to get real theological about it.
And
real. It's simple. It's very simple. You know, man entered into the realm of death. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, did Adam fall over dead right then? No, but he entered into the realm of death.
Yeah.
And his name was always Adam. Adam, which means a man of low degree. It means ruddy. It means a lot of different things if you look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Other times in Scripture, after Eve was taken out of Adam, the word man, sometimes you'll see it doesn't say Adam. It says Ish. It's a different name. And Ish has the meaning of a champion and has a more positive meaning. But the thing about it is, you know, and the Lord gave me a sermon on this one year time years ago, when, and I'll be quiet because I'm taking up too much time, but anyway, the sermon that he gave me on it was, everybody ever see that movie Jerry Maguire?
Mm-hmm.
You know what, you ever see that movie Jerry Maguire?
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway, Jerry Maguire, this girl's in love with him and everything. And he's a kind of a shyster type guy. He's a representative for athletes.
Yeah, right, yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, he finally realizes that he loves that girl, and he's kind of done her wrong. You know, he's kind of not been true to her and stuff. And the biggest line in that whole movie was, he came in and he started telling her the thing he said to her, and every woman would love to hear a man say this to them, "You complete me," he's told her. You know, when he was trying to get back in her graces and he realized how much he loved her. And she said, "You had me at the first word, you know." But
you had me at hello.
But let me tell you what, scripture says man became an incomplete being, I feel like, mm-hmm. when after he sinned, he became incomplete. Now, a lot of deeper life teachers tell you, "Oh, bless God, man was always complete. He was always this. He was always that." No, because he didn't have the mentality. He didn't have the mind of Christ to realize that Christ was in him still. So he was incomplete. And there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, "And you are complete in him." That's the only way you're ever going to be complete, is in him. Your girlfriend ain't going to complete you. Your job ain't going to complete you. What you own ain't going to complete you. None of those things are ever going to complete you. And they might satisfy you for a short span of time, but that wears off. You know, you get a brand new car. "Man, I love this car. It's a nice car." All of a sudden, the window won't roll down. Or all of a sudden, or if it rolls down, it won't go up. Or somebody, I was driving through Kroger's a couple days ago, and I really like my little Buick. I love that, to drive that car. It's a nice car. I really like it. I'm driving through the parking lot, leaving. This woman hits me in the side, puts a big dent in the back of my car. And I could see she was going to hit me because she was coming at me from an angle like this. And I was saying, "Don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me." I knew she was going to hit me. And she slammed into the... And just enough to put a big dent in the back of it. Well, it's been fixed since then, you know. But I've come to realize, and I've realized this over the years, don't get your eyes on too many natural things, because God will let them fall apart. He'll let somebody put a key mark on the side of it, or he'll do something, you know. And but anyway, the only thing can complete us is him. He's the only thing that can complete us. And you know, creation out there, he's inside of them. He is their very life, because he breathed into man the breath of life. And when he breathed that breath of life into them, that was his spirit. And if you go in the Old Testament and you look up the word spirit back there, it's a word that means, I think it's a word pneuma, and it means to breathe violently, you know, to exhale violently. You know, so he breathed into us the breath of life. But we haven't come to the realization, and man hasn't realized who and what he is in Christ, you know. And until he realizes that, he's going to walk on in darkness and walk on in a situation of not really a mistaken identity, you might as well say, you know. But anyway.
This morning I woke up. Brenda, did you get my text? Probably not. You were probably on your way to church already.
What time was it?
I woke up singing. More of you, more of you.
Yeah, that was.
I've had all, but what I need is more of you. Yeah. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. That was the cry of my heart when I woke up this morning. I was singing it as I woke up, and I had to put it up on, share it with my girlfriends.
No, we were on the road.
Yeah,
because a bunch of messages were coming on, and I didn't listen because I'm driving. Yeah.
You were driving?
Yeah.
Empty and bare. Oh, bare. Yeah. Who told you were naked? Yeah. Empty and bare.
Right.
Lord, hear my prayer.
Well, see, even with Adam, in that scenario back there, he knew something was different. He knew something was different, see? Mm-hmm. And did he eat of an actual apple? No. Did he eat of an actual tree? No. I'm gonna tell you what What is one of the Psalms, what does the first Psalm say?
He who sits.
Blessed is the man that sitteth in the... Blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. So I can't think of it right now. But anyway, but he shall be like a tree planted by waters. Mm-hmm. And he'll bring forth his fruit in his season. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometime I'll have to preach on the trees. And I'll tell you what a lot of the trees are sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not what you think. And when it talks about trees in the garden, I think you'll find out it wasn't talking about a literal tree.
No apple.
Mm. Don't forget that apple
it's
stuff.
It's really a realm. It's really a place.
It is.
That's an interesting.
You were able to eat of any tree in the garden except for that tree. You know, the tree of life was there too. Mm-hmm. And you know, in Revelations, he talks about a crystal stream coming out from the throne and so on and so forth, and there's a tree on each side of the stream. Mm-hmm. What do you think those trees are?
Us.
One of them. Jesus is the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those will bear 12 manner of fruit, of fruit, you know, and for 12 seasons that there is, see. That's continuous fruit. Mm-hmm. And what are those fruit for? For the healing of the nations.
Yes.
You know, I mean, all this stuff, it's symbolic. And until God starts to open the symbols up to you sometimes, mm-hmm. everybody's looking for a literal tree. They're looking for a literal this, a literal. People went over in the Middle East and tried to find the Garden of Eden mm-hmm. for years. And you know what? They ain't gonna find it, not over there, because it's a spiritual thing, mm-hmm. you know. Well, anyway.
Sometimes don't we all think we're so smart?
Well, and the
Garden
stuff,
of Eden,
this stuff is so simple. Yes. It's not really complicated, and religion makes it complicated. You know, religion makes it, I hate to hear people say 14 steps to this or 10 to that or what. I don't even like to do that. Mm-hmm. I can tell you numbers, what numbers mean sometimes, mm-hmm. but when I'm telling you what numbers mean, I'm telling you the significance of what they mean. You know, those things, like those papers I gave you guys over the years about the numbers, what they meant, you know. But, you know, anyway.
See, all that you're talking about goes right back to the woman getting down on the ground and crawling, getting filthy, dirty, just to touch the hem of God, because that's really what we need. You know, we need His life in us, that pomegranate, you know, just to burst forth.
Well, think about this too. When the lady's sitting at Jesus' feet, and what's she doing?
Yes.
She's weeping, uh-huh. and she's cleaning His feet with what?
Tears.
Now, how you show me a woman that's going to get down on the in the dirt, a dirty, nasty feet, uh-huh. and use her hair to wipe somebody's feet. Women are more finicky about their hair than I am.
It wouldn't get very dry if I did. It wouldn't get very clean.
Women go to the beauty shop and they get their hair done and they spray lacquer on it to make it hold right in place and not move. And women are very, and scripture tells you that a woman's hair is not supposed to have her hair, I believe it says she's not supposed to have her hair covered, you know. And it tells you that a woman's hair is her glory. So what was that woman doing at the feet of Jesus? She was taking what little bit of glory she had and cleaning the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
But wasn't that Mary Magdalene?
It was one of the Marys. I can tell you right now.
I've read on it because when he talks about, and Martha complains about Mary, her mm-hmm. sister, mm-hmm. Mary was sitting at his feet, learning of, mm-hmm. worshiping, you know, right. This is what she was doing. But when they talk about Because that happened not in Lazarus' house.
Yeah.
That it was a, you, when you read, because I've looked up and read on it.
That's good.
Yeah. And Mary Magdalene.
Well, just think about this then. If the woman who was washing his feet with a, and cleaning them with the hair of her head, then, and if it was the Mary that they try to act like was a prostitute and stuff, which they don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. They don't, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that people put out there that speculate this stuff. But whoever, whatever it means, mm-hmm. she had to be humbling herself tremendously.
Yes.
You know, she had to be, you know, and the woman, you know, that was, like you say, getting down to touch the hem of his garment. Now that fringe on the prayer shawl just hangs, you know, maybe here. But if it's the hem of his garment and you look at the garment, mm-hmm. you look at the actual garment that they wore, mm-hmm. it came all the way to their feet. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit different there. Yes. And you go all the way to the feet, you're down where it's dirt.
And
he, and what does scripture say about us? He knows our fame, and what are we? What are we? We're nothing but dust or dirt. So she, by doing that, she was acknowledging who she was, but she also was acknowledging who he was. Mm-hmm. And see, that's where to me, where the ministries that are out there today sometimes that are teaching the deeper truths at times, they're not humble. Some of them are not. Mm-hmm. They're not. And some of them are very exalted and they're very lifted up and they think that they're super special. And I got news for you. He that would be great among you, what's he supposed to be? Servant of them all. Servant, yeah. Mm-hmm. Servant. And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Uh-huh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it. You can't forget about the little things. If you forget about the little things, all of the high-minded, deep truths and all the other stuff really mounts out to not much. When you, if you're not doing the little stuff, the big stuff, you know. But I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, folks, it's 5-2. Next week we will start in 15. We have exhausted 14, but I thought it was a good.
Yeah, very good.
A good meeting today. So, hey Bob, how would you feel about closing us in a word of prayer? Would you do that?
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
No pressure.
Father, we thank you.
Yes.
For speaking to our heart.
Thank you, Father.
For guiding us day by day. And I like that. I'm just thankful to be here.
Yes.
Praise
thank
the Lord.
You, Lord.
Thankful that I can be attached to you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I just thank you, and we all thank you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.